Holy shit, I'm gone 11 days, and CM Punk gets fired, and Matt Riddle's called a girl. Unbelievable. No. The Matt Riddle thing, it's just me being a little asshole. By the way, the Matt Riddle story, the TMZ story that came out about JFK Airport sexual assault, I will tell you, we're not going to clickbait anything tonight. We're not going to make anybody wait an hour. I will get into it in a few minutes, but I will tell you this much. A lot of the reports going around in the wrestling news world, 100% fake news. Not only that, it's amazing that none of the wrestling sites out there tried to reach out to get the story from Matt Riddle. Some of them contacted WWE. Of course, WWE's not going to give them any information. I think they just do that to just try to go through the motions and say, oh, we tried. I got it straight from the source. In fact, quote, Matt Riddle wants this out there. I'm going to tell you the story of what happened at JFK Airport. I'm going to tell you why he was not at Raw tonight. I'm going to tell you why he may not be at Raw next week. With all due respect to all the sites out there, he was pulled because of the JFK and pulled from future events. Fake news. I'll tell you in a few minutes. It's an interesting story. I will tell you this much. Matt Riddle himself cannot believe how big this blew up. And the only reason why he even mentioned it on social media is because a lot of wrestling fans saw him at JFK Airport. And some wrestling fans witnessed part of what went down. So he knew it was going to go out there. So he basically, said a few things. But I'm going to fill in all the blanks tonight. What's up, everybody? I'm a little bit extra energetic tonight. You know, that's what happens when you go on an 11-day vacation. And believe me, I was supposed to be home 2 days ago. You know what's interesting? I'll tell you this much. For anybody that saw my sit-down episode from Sunday, I was supposed to come home Saturday, and Delta Airlines canceled my flight about 5 hours after we were supposed to leave, almost 11, 12 o'clock at night. They canceled me. Now, I gave you all that info before anything else came out with Riddle. Do you know that a lot of what happened was the same thing? Just the opposite. I was trying to get into JFK. Riddle was trying to get out of JFK. And Delta canceled his shit late at night as well. So it's pretty interesting that they both mirror each other. He ended up leaving New York on JetBlue, I believe. And I came in today on JetBlue. Plus my fear of flying. I had to come home on 9/11. I recorded a whole bunch of footage of the plane taking off and the plane landing, and I put it on Twitter. Not because, you know, people have never seen planes take off and land before. I had to do something to keep myself from losing it, you know, having a little bit of a nervous breakdown. I don't like flying. This is only the third time I've flown since 9/11. So, but I am back. I want to welcome you all to this WWE Raw post show. You know, Mondays we call it a post show. It's not just a Raw review. We talk about ratings. We talk about this week in wrestling history. We give you some previews for NXT, some previews for AEW. And you know what? If you haven't checked it out already, I know it's a little bit late, but if you want to check out the predictions episode. Now, I know that's an old thumbnail, but Kev Castle and I did Payback predictions, and Payback happened a week ago. We got everything, not only right. The only thing that didn't happen was Lita did not show. But I got a kick out of today, like, oh, you know, what do you all think about Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler teaming up? You know, I didn't see that coming. You know, wow. You know, I wonder why WWE came up with something like that. And, yeah, Kevin and I talked about it on a prediction show, the idea of Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark being a tag team. So that is where they're going with it. So if you haven't checked it out, if you want to see near perfection, go check out that episode. And by the way, because NXT is going to be a pretty big night tomorrow with Becky Lynch challenging Tiffany Stratton for the NXT Women's Championship. Will Becky Lynch become a first-time NXT Women's Champion? Does that make her a Grand Slam champion? Or I don't. What are you called if you win five different titles? I don't know. But I decided we're going to do a little watch party tomorrow. I will be hosting. I will be moderating. The chat room will be open throughout the whole night. So if you want to stop by, chat with me, chat with others during NXT. And look, even if you don't watch NXT through your computer, if you watch it on the luxury of your TV at home, you could still stop by and chat with us while you're watching NXT on your TV. You're not required to watch it through the computer, but the watch party, we all watch NXT. You don't just see this fat face like you see on YouTube with watch-alongs. When you watch watch-alongs, you just see the host. Here, you see the actual show. So we're going to do that tomorrow. Xander says quintuple crown champion. I don't think so. I think a lot of people probably wouldn't even be able to spell that. And after being a wrestling fan for me since 79, I don't recall anybody ever being called a quintuple champion. I know they do that in horse racing, but that's not a bad idea. So how's everybody doing tonight? Hope everybody has had a wonderful week. We did a quick one-hour sit-down episode. I can't believe it's yesterday. It feels like it's 5 days ago. But I decided the CM Punk discussion, we're going to hold off until Wednesday. I gave a little teaser yesterday about something that nobody seems to have reported out there, is that the minute that Jack Perry opened up his mouth and said what he said it all in, Tony Khan warned CM Punk, didn't threaten him, but said, don't do anything, let me take care of it. And CM Punk was like, nah, fuck that. So, you know, that's not exactly how the words were said, but we'll talk about it on Wednesday. And we'll address the press release, you know, the announcement that he said on Collision. The ratings nosedived. After that announcement, they freaking nosedived. We will do the breakdown in a little bit. But I got to say this before we talk about anything else. If you saw my thumbnail tonight, you know, it's a little spoof on Vince McMahon, then, now, forever. I will tell you all that a lot of wrestling websites out there are doing a little bit of premature ejaculation. Yeah, the Endeavor deal is supposed to be completed pretty much tomorrow, but I beg you all to do a Google search and look at the non-wrestling sites out there. Look at the Business Wire. Look at the stock market sites. Look at the financial sites. 99% of them are not talking about this yet. All the wrestling sites are the ones doing it because they want you to get emotional, because Vince McMahon obviously is a controversial person. Some people call him a criminal. You know, say whatever you want about him. But a lot of wrestling websites, instead of waiting, you know, this is almost like, remember the AEW TV deal at the upfronts, the Warner Media upfronts? We were the only show out there that said a week or two before the upfronts, they don't do TV deal announcements at upfronts. They reveal their schedules. Everybody's like, $1.2 billion for 5 years and this and that. They're still waiting. They're still waiting. Wait. So next week, we'll talk about Vince McMahon's era of WWF/WWE. He will still be the chairman. Not much of what you see will change all that much. But as far as him owning it and being a majority owner, and, you know, that way, in a financial sense, yeah, the era is coming to an end. But I got to be honest with you. If the deal does complete this week, I got to be honest with you. I fucking love it that the last, remember Thunderdome? My friends, some people that don't like me will not like this, but it is a reminder. Do you remember the last moment of Thunderdome? For those that are newer to the shows, I was on Thunderdome at least 15 times. And when I started dressing up as deli man, the guy with the deli mask with holding the sausage and everything, they had me on TV, and I got a kick out of it. It put the little kid out of me. But the most amazing thing about it is, if anybody remembers that night, and go back and watch it, the final match that they had in the Thunderdome era, I think maybe even Rhea Ripley got the pin, they took my video and put it smack center ringside just for that one match. And I was like, wow, you know, that I thought that was pretty cool. So the last image you ever saw of Thunderdome was yours truly as Deli Man, right smack center camera. Tonight, the last image you will ever see under the Vince McMahon-owned, majority-owned era of the WWE that spanned 41 years is Nia Jax. Nia Jax. Welcome back, Nia Jax. Hey, a lot of people know that I am a fan of hers. It's no secret. I have criticized her as well. Some of the injuries that she had caused some wrestlers, Kairi Sane comes to mind right away. You know, she definitely had issues. There's no question. But I love the size. Listen, nothing against Piper Niven. I know she was a little ill last week, but honestly, you ever see like those bad cartoons where you have like a short little midget kid and he's trying to like hit somebody, or it might even be a bad cartoon, and somebody is just holding him by the head and they're like this? What happened with Piper Niven? Go back and watch the punches that she was trying to give Shayna Baszler. Honestly, she wouldn't have even hurt a child with that. I'm watching that and I'm like, what happened? What happened? You know, like, Nia Jax is what Piper Niven should have been. And if you remember, Piper Niven was being used as Doudrop a lot, so just so Bianca Belair could hit her with the KOD. You remember the previous host, I can't remember his name right now. KOD! KOD! He just went nuts every time Bianca Belair would KOD Piper Niven. But Nia Jax, physically, you know, a monster. I heard that she has improved. I know some people out there, she could turn into like a female whatever. She could even possibly pull out a 3.5-star match, and I think people would still despise her. You can't convince everyone, but all I could say right now is she's back. You know, once again, you know, this hiring freeze that people were saying all year, you see, it's bullshit. But not much is going to change as far as WWE. And like I said, we'll talk about it next week once it's finalized and we know it's done, which it probably will be. But Nia Jax returned tonight, cost Raquel Rodriguez the win. Then not only did she cost Raquel Rodriguez the win, she decides to do one of those bonsai drops on Rhea Ripley. And I got a kick out of it after, when she was just like pie-facing Rhea Ripley afterwards. I enjoyed it. There's a little screenshot of her with the bonsai drop. She was glowing from ear to ear. She was freaking happy. I mean, fans booed the shit out of her. So she did a job. She did a job. Now we have to wait and see what happens with her. Let's see if she's improved. I will tell you this. I'm not going to win over any Nia Jax haters tonight. But just in a human sense for a minute, Nia Jax was very devastated that she was let go. She also had some emotional issues, and she wanted time off. We're not going to get into that story today, but my point is this, and this is something I've said is AEW's biggest problem. When you have job security and you know that your boss is not going to fire you You know, unless you obviously have bad behavior, you know, that's different. You look at, you know, some wrestlers, some people have been fired in AEW for bad behavior. But when it comes to just not doing very good in the ring, you know, it's admirable for Tony Khan to say, I'm going to just let their contracts run out and then I just won't renew them. The problem is when you know that you have job security for a certain amount of time, there's no incentive to improve your game. There's no incentive for some people. There's no incentive, that pressure that if I don't fucking step up, somebody's going to take my spot and I could get fired tomorrow. You know, for Nia Jax, she got let go when she least expected it. And ever since then, she, first she was out of wrestling. She was so hurt by it, she was out. Then she started getting the bug, like, I want to return. I need to return. And the only way Nia Jax was going to return is if she upped her game a little bit. So sometimes when you lose your opportunity, that lights a fire under your ass to step it up a notch. You know, that's why yesterday, I know I didn't put it in the synopsis, but we were talking about Jade Cargill yesterday, and some people were asking me my thoughts of Jade Cargill's return. And my answer is simple. I hope she was training while she was gone. I know she has a family, and I know that, you know, wrestling is not her number one priority, but, you know, let's be honest. She's not ready for primetime television. She's a physical specimen, and she's okay, but being gone for 2-3 months, if you come back and you're the same person that was left 2-3 months ago, where's the incentive to improve your game? You know, so this is the difference. Sometimes when you're out of a job, or you know, whether it's your choosing or not, if you can't simply just return, you know, sometimes that forces somebody to up their game. So let's see what happens with Nia Jax. Let's see what happens. All right. You want to talk about Matt Riddle? Raw was a good show tonight. We're not going to get into crazy detail on Raw tonight. Drew McIntyre, you know, now starting to beat up some baby faces. Took out Xavier Woods tonight. Next week, he's going to go at it with Jey Uso. That's going to be interesting because Jey Uso, you know, let's be honest, when you saw Jey Uso and Kevin Owens interacting with a little bit, I think the fans kind of prefer Jey Uso over Kevin Owens. Although, though, the ratings for last week's Raw, Jey Uso, you know, then again, it was out towards hour three. Of course, there's going to be less viewers. But Jey Uso, you know, part of the low ratings for last week. But he's on Raw right now. Jimmy Uso, they have problems. Jimmy Uso, they definitely have problems. You could see the Bloodline storyline has hit a brick wall. And right now, that if you really read between the lines, oh, is Jimmy in the Bloodline or is he not in the Bloodline? Oh, Judgment Day wants Jey Uso. And Jey Uso's like, really? Really? For real? You're like, come on, man. We just did. You know, you Bloodline, you're not Bloodline. They hit a brick wall. They expected these TV deals to be finalized by now. And then they realized, holy shit, we're only in August and September. How are we going to go from Roman Reigns feuding with the Bloodline to Cody Rhodes? You know, everybody's like, well, of course Cody's going to finish the story, but that's not until April of next year. What are you doing in the meantime? And the ratings are affecting it. John Cena is just a Band-Aid. And John Cena is not even wrestling all that much. He's going to be on the Grayson Waller effect this Friday. You know, so the ratings will rebound a little bit. But did you see the numbers for last Friday's SmackDown? It went down like 35%. That's a pretty big deal. That is definitely. So we'll do the dissecting of that later. But all right. Matt Riddle, I got this straight from the horse's mouth, all right? I'm going to pull up my notes because I don't want to get anything wrong. I will first talk about, let me start off with this. Not trying to single out any news reports out there. But one news report said, hold on, let me pull this up. I'm pulling up news report. Because I saw what Dave Meltzer wrote in his newsletter. And let's see. Here it is. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just tell you what I know. But I'll tell you this. You know, I don't want to start reading other people's reports. All right. Let me just say it like this. First of all, the reports going around that Matt Riddle was pulled from WWE events because of the JFK incident is a lie. Right now, I will tell you right off the bat, he has an ear infection, and it requires minimum 2 to 6 weeks to clear out. He's had the ear infection. It was bothering him while he was in India. It got worse over the past week. He was diagnosed with it, I think, today. So Matt Riddle was pulled from Raw because of health issues. In fact, his exactly what he has is an inner ear infection, and he also has, hold on, I'm just pulling all my stuff over here. Okay. I'm getting all my notes because I have Raw mixed in with it. Okay. I'll give you everything in order. Tour of India. I shouldn't say this wrestler's name, but I'm going to, because I know that there was fans at JFK Airport who saw them, took pictures with them. It's just the name hasn't come out as of yet. Okay? So if you look hard enough online, you will see some fan photos at JFK Airport with Matt Riddle and this wrestler. So it's going to come out. So I'm just going to tell you like it was. Matt Riddle and Bron Breakker were at JFK Airport, and they were supposed to fly out over the weekend. Now, if anybody follows my shows, I posted on social media over the weekend. I was supposed to come back to New York on Saturday, and I was at the airport in Florida trying to get to JFK Airport. And what happened was, New York was in the mid to upper 90s last week, and there was tons of fog over the weekend and bad weather. So my flight that was supposed to leave at 6, then it was delayed to 7, then it was delayed to 8, then it was delayed to like 11, and then all of a sudden, 11 o'clock at night, my flight was canceled on Saturday. Me, like a schmuck, you know, since I'm not experienced in flying, I'm standing on line at the counter by the terminal thinking that they could book me another ticket. Meanwhile, everybody's on their smartphone rescheduling flights. So after half an hour, I gave up, and there were no flights for September 10th, and the earliest I could fly back home was September 11th. So now, here's the thing. Bron Breakker and Matt Riddle was supposed to leave JFK Airport at 3:30 in the afternoon. And the flights were delayed out of JFK because of bad weather. So now you're stuck at the airport 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours. You got your ears bothering you. You don't feel well. You're tired. You just toured India. Every time you're expected to get on the plane, there's another hour delay. What do you do when you sit at the airport? You have a drink. You try to relax. And basically, here's where the TMZ story comes in. And then I'll tell you, I'll fill in the blanks, because we have definitely a lot more than this. What TMZ put out there, and they were cute because they blurred out the security guy's face and everything. I don't blur it out over here. I don't give a shit, because if there's an old saying, if you play, you must pay. And if somebody acts like a douche, you call them out for being a douche. And this is the security guy right here. Okay, this is the security guy. This is an original post. It's a Matt Riddle, and Matt Riddle deleted this. I want to make it clear. He deleted this because he wanted to let the airport handle this. But he posted this over the weekend. That is the screenshot of the security guy. And Matt Riddle said, nothing like being sexually assaulted by an officer and harassed at JFK Airport. No means no, and just because I'm nice doesn't mean yes. Asshole. Don't know their Twitter or Instagram handles, but I took pictures. Normally I'm like whatever, but today was really, really weird and uncomfortable. And they made a point to make me feel small and useless. Definitely one of the most uncomfortable travel days I've ever had. Thanks, New York City. You're so progressive and accepting. That was a screenshot of a security guard that was being a dick to Matt Riddle. Okay, now I start filling in the blanks. My friends, you watch Matt Riddle on TV. You hear how he talks. Very laid back. You know, sounds like he's a stoner. Let's be honest. You know, when they were doing, dude, like we all thought Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Sean Penn. You know, Matt Riddle talks like that in real life. What you see on TV is a real extension of Matt Riddle. So now picture Matt Riddle at the airport, jet-lagged, or basically sitting there for 8 hours, just did the tour of India, tired, wants to get home, ear infection, has a cocktail, barely could stay awake, doesn't feel good, is tired, and then he's causing, not a scene, but there's people, commotion around him, because holy shit, it's Bron Breakker, holy shit, it's Matt Riddle, so fans are going up to him, and he's taking pictures, he's signing autographs, and some security did not like that. So when they talk to Matt Riddle, if you think about how Matt Riddle talks, they thought he was under the influence of drugs. They searched him. They found nothing. Matt Riddle, you know, having a drink once in a while, it's not illegal. He doesn't have an alcohol problem. You know, he's just chilling out at the airport trying to kill time. They checked him multiple times. No drugs. Dude. You know, that's how he talks. They thought he was high. All right, now we go one step further. My friends, look at this picture. That is a picture of Matt Riddle. And look at this picture also of Matt Riddle. Anything do you see in this picture that could be interpreted in a different way? Well, for those on audio only, I just posted pictures of Matt Riddle with his painted fingernails. And there was an asshole security person. I'm not saying it's this guy. But there was an asshole security person that basically was taking shots at Matt Riddle because he's got long hair, because he's got painted nails. You know, you could fill in the blanks however you want it. But basically, you know, think of New York. I'm not trashing New York. I live in New York. It's my home for my entire life. But you could get some abrasive people. What the fuck is up with the fingernails? Girls paint their fingernails. What's up with the long hair? You see the pictures of him. You know, you get some wise-ass people, and they made him feel like this small. They accused him of being under the influence. I think that's probably a good way to put it. Not only that, here's another thing that has not been reported. They didn't want him to board the plane because they thought that there would be an issue. In fact, I have the words right here. They didn't feel comfortable with Matt Riddle on the flight. Now, if you remember the TMZ report that it was an incident on a plane and people realized that it was Matt Riddle, that is the TMZ part, but they didn't get into it because they obviously didn't have it from the source. They didn't feel that comfortable with Matt Riddle on the plane. They thought he was under the influence. He's jet-lagged. He's tired. He's at the airport for 8 hours. He's got an ear infection just toward India, you know, and they thought something was up with him. So that's basically what transpired. So now he is home. And they were very aggressive with him. And he was very exhausted as well. Doing a 20-hour flight to India is no joke. Jet lag, stress, exhaustion, not feeling well, diagnosed with an inner ear infection. And you take all that combination and you got what you got. So he also has a little bit of bronchitis. So he's got the flu, he's got an ear infection, and he's got a little bit of bronchial issues. WWE told him to stay home because he's sick. That is 1,000% the story. He was not sent home because of the JFK incident. Contrary to wrestling news sites out there that are telling you that he was pulled from future events because of the JFK incident, it is a lie. The cops at the terminal, Port Authority, whatever it is, they were giving him a hard time. You go to an airport, you have the flu, you get an ear infection, you travel 20 hours to India and then come back, you get stuck for 8 hours, you're tired, you get no sleep, you got fans, you're trying to accommodate everyone, you even got security people that want to take pictures with you, and then you got to deal with other security like, dude, what did you take? Bro, this is how I am. I didn't take nothing. Dude, people don't talk like that. People don't. I could see it in your eyes. You know, this is, I'm not, I'm just ad-libbing. But that's what they did to the guy. So he basically issued a complaint to security, and they're looking into it. He did not file a police report, but, you know, there's a little bit more with the accusations that I can't put out there because it is an ongoing investigation. But this is exactly what happened. All right. And as far as the no means no, I'm not getting into what that was. I will tell you this. There's one wrestling news site out there that is claiming that Matt Riddle was groped and Matt Riddle was compromised and Matt Riddle said, no, I don't want to be touched. No means no. Every wrestling website that has reported anything that TMZ did not is just speculating. With all due respect to Dave Meltzer, he found it interesting that he was pulled from Raw because right after the JFK incident. He was pulled from Raw because he was sick. Other wrestling websites are saying he was pulled from future events because of the JFK incident. No, he was pulled because he is sick. He is exhausted. That is the story. In fact, he didn't even want this to come out. But some people that were at the airport witnessed the whole thing. And you know how everything is. You know, if a fan sees something, they're going to say it, and it spreads like wildfire. So I'm telling you, TMZ talked this much about it. I filled in everything else. Every website out there in the wrestling news world that is writing the stuff they're writing, I will tell you this right now. Not one of those websites reached out to Matt Riddle about this story. And he is very upset at the whole thing. He's very upset at the fake news that's floating around. And he said, feel free to share. He was medically excused from WWE tonight because of his illness. If he is well enough, he will be back next week. If not next week, it could be the following week. Just understand that inner ear infections, especially when you're a pro wrestler, 2 to 6 weeks is the, you know, the time. But obviously he's involved in a pretty big storyline right now, so if he could get back next week, he will. But that is the story. So, straight up, no fake news. By the way, I want to make it clear, no incidents whatsoever with Bron Breakker. In fact, you know, Bron was basically trying to, like, be the peacemaker out of all of this. You know, but unfortunately, and listen, he didn't, nobody got nasty. Nobody, you know, threatened the security. They were just being douchebags, man. I mean, anybody that's ever been to JFK Airport, I mean, I came home today and my wife's brother picked us up. And for anybody that flew over this weekend, here's a little tidbit about 9/11 and flying that I didn't even know. When I got off the plane in JFK Airport today, I tried to get a Lyft, L-Y-F-T. I tried to get an Uber. And every time I tried to put my location in it, I was at the JetBlue terminal. It said that I had to take an AirTran to Terminal 7 and this and that. I called Uber and I said, every time I keep putting in where I am, it's saying I have to take a train. They said, yeah, we can't go anywhere near the terminals. You have to go to Terminal 7, take an AirTran. So she called her brother and her brother picked us up. All he did was pull up and beep the horn, and they were telling him, where's your party? You can't stay over here. If you park the car and you walk out, we're going to ticket it and tow it. He's like, they're right there. It wasn't even 60 seconds and it would be an assholes. It's a very, very stressful job, let alone being in New York the weekend of 9/11. So I get it. You know, there's extra tension in the air, but the story about Matt Riddle is not as big of a story as people think that it is. But to just summarize it, he is sick. He got stuck at the airport for a good 8 hours. And then not only that, I mean, let me tell you something else that you don't know. He was supposed to fly Delta. I was supposed to fly Delta. You saw my sit-down episode. His got canceled. Mine got canceled. Misha booked him on JetBlue. So he was able to return on JetBlue. But even Delta didn't replace his flight. So, you know, just imagine all that going on, and then you have to deal with a couple of asshole security guards that think you're, you know, yo, dude, you know, why are you painting your nails? You know, what's up with that? You paint your toes, you paint your nails, what's with the sand? You sound like you're under influence. That's what happened. That's the story. No clickbait, no lies. And I got this straight from the source. I didn't, you know, do it for any other reason, but, you know, I respect both of them, both Misha and Matt Riddle. They're about to have a kid in a couple of months. Congrats to them. You know, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of misinformation from 6 months ago. Certain things I will never talk about publicly. That's not my place to do it. But I will tell you that absolutely they were not happy with the information that was floating around, because you know how wrestling news sites are. They get a little tidbit of a story and they think they could fill in the blanks, and they get very, very creative of it. And I'm telling you, everything that was reported outside of TMZ is a lie. It was a lie. It was a guess. But I'll say it like that. And the guess was wrong. So there you go. He's not in any trouble with WWE. He will be back as soon as he recovers. And look, man, that tour of India, 20-hour flight, and you're not even home yet, you know, plus you're sick on top of it and everything else, you know, that wipes out, you know, the strongest of the strongest out there. So you all are very welcome. I wanted to give it to you straight up. Anyway. Let's move on. I wanted to mention this because this happened over the weekend and there's some very good news coming out of it. I'm sure a lot of you heard that Hacksaw Jim Duggan recently collapsed at an event and he was rushed to a hospital to get emergency surgery. Now, that is a picture of him in his hospital bed, I think late last week. I am very happy to let you all know that Hacksaw Jim Duggan is out of the hospital. He is back home. You know, this picture is a little deceiving because he is in a wheelchair. Now, he could be just leaving the Glen Falls Hospital. And when you leave a hospital, when you're admitted, you have to be wheeled out in a wheelchair. I was even wheeled out in a wheelchair when I had surgery on my shoulder. You know, so that could be the only reason why he's in this wheelchair. As far as what happened to him, I'm not going to release anything. I got told a few things. If he wants to release it, He will, but I wanted to just mention that because he is out of the hospital, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that still aren't aware of that. As you saw when I opened up the show, I just did a little graphic for General Adnan, who passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 84. Hey, man. I want to live to 64. This guy got to live to 84. You know, you think about it, earlier this year, the Iron Sheik passed away, and now General Adnan has passed away. You know, it's pretty amazing if you go look at his wrestling career. I mean, he is an Iraqi, and he actually brought professional wrestling to Iraq, and I believe the story was in 1971. He actually defeated Andre the Giant in Iraq, and he rubbed elbows, apparently, with Saddam Hussein. But when he broke into wrestling, he was Billy White Wolf. They were doing a Native American character with him. And I even think he won a tag team championships with Chief J. Strongbow. So, you know, he's had a pretty storied career. I mean, going back, what, the 50s? And to actually wrestle in Iraq on top of it. But I just wanted to make mention because I know there's a lot of places that don't unless it's a high, really high profile name. Obviously, for a lot of you that grew up a wrestling fan in the 80s, you know, and above, you only knew General Adnan being with Sergeant Slaughter, the Iron Sheik, if you remember everything in the early 90s with the Iraqi war. But, you know, he had a pretty storied career. And I just wanted to make mention of it. Rest in peace, 84 years old. And obviously, I showed you at the beginning of the show, you know, today is September 11th. I'm kind of blown away. It's the 22-year anniversary of it. You know, it's still for me, you know, like I remember where I was and what I was doing. And even the pro wrestling side of it, I've always told this story, and I know a lot of you know it as well. And I don't think it was intentional. I don't even think that they knew that the tragedy had happened. But the same day that September 11th happened, if anybody remembers Vinny G, the Chokeslam Wrestling Hotline, he interviewed Todd Gordon. I think that morning or sometime during the day, because I went on my hotline and we were just trying to like, my God, what the fuck happened today? And I'm going around the other hotlines to see how they're reacting to the story. And I hear, welcome to the Chokeslam Wrestling Hotline. Today, our guest is Todd Gordon, formerly of ECW. Todd, how did you get in the wrestling business? I'm like, oh. But, you know. Who knows? Maybe it was recorded the day before. But 22 years ago, man. Do we give Stephanie McMahon a little bit of a break this year? Do we give Stephanie a little bit of a break? Should we? Because a lot of people still don't know that when WWE had their wrestling event 2 days after 9/11, a lot of wrestlers did tributes. And I'll never forget JBL's. JBL's was the most powerful one this week in wrestling history that those promos are on there. But Stephanie McMahon compared 9/11. Now, keep in mind, this was recorded 2 days after 9/11. She compared it to the steroid trial of her father, which is pretty wild. And you want to know something, too? A lot of people don't know this, and it's not a big deal anymore. But, you know, when I had the war with Ring of Honor back in the day, and I was, you know, really, really, I just despise Gabe Sapolsky. I mean, my views on Gabe have changed 180 over the last bunch of years. I don't dislike the man anymore. But if anybody remembers the Rob Feinstein incident, when they removed him from Ring of Honor, I think it was Gabe that said that was their 9/11. And if anybody does Wayback Machine and type in my website, wrestling-news.com, and type in the Ring of Honor 9/11, you'll see the story. Because I snapped. I took that personal. I'm like, you don't compare fucking terrorist attacks to removing one of your owners because, you know, he was accused of doing something, which, you know, ended up not being true. But still, you know, they actually said that was their 9/11. So, sorry, Gabe. I don't have nothing against you anymore, but, you know, we had to bring that up today. So, we'll give Stephanie a pass this year. We will not talk about her. We will not play her 9/11 remarks. But this week in wrestling history, if you want to check it out, it's on there. In fact, I got a little treat for you. Before we get into Raw, this week in wrestling history, I honestly have to say this is my top five episodes of the entire year. Now, I have some previews in front of me, but I got some audio clips that you will absolutely love. I'll give you one right now. Well, let me show you first, okay? Ric Flair, here's a little trivia question, guys and gals. Ric Flair's first ever NWA World Heavyweight Championship reign. Do you know who he beat to have his first reign as champion? Everybody thinks it's Harley Race. His first championship reign for the NWA, I think in 1981, was against Dusty Rhodes, believe it or not. And the reason why you see three different photos of Flair there, because this week in wrestling history, Ric Flair agreed to do that disastrous Hulkamania tour in Australia. And then, obviously, you know, the Four Horsemen, Kurt Hennig turns on the Horsemen. A lot of Ric Flair stuff this weekend, this week in history. But here's some other good highlights. Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling debuted on CBS this week in history. This week was the anniversary of Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan doing their first play-by-play together ever. And we got the audio of their first ever match that they called together. There is Sabu performing on WCW Nitro. If you remember Hell No, Team Hell No with Kane and Daniel Bryan. But even though this is not part of this picture, who knows about this? I guarantee you 98% of you out there have no idea about this story. This is New Jack, God rest his soul, talking about Taz. And something happened in 1998. How many of you know this story?
I thought it was great.
Hold on. I got to clear that box out.
I thought it was great. because Taz could do no wrong. He could do no wrong. And when he got in trouble and the cops came to get him, if you would have been there, you would have died. He was sitting there and the cops came in, and the first thing Taz did, he said, "Somebody get Paulie. I'm going to jail." he said, "I'm going to jail. Get Paulie." Paulie couldn't help your ass then. Yeah. We laughed about that shit forever. To this day, I still laugh about it. Because he did it. And he know he did it.
Well, I was going to say,
All right, we're going to leave it there. If you want to know what he did or he was accused of doing, you got to tune into the episode. I guarantee you it's something you've never heard before. I don't know if it's true. It's controversial. Speaking of controversial, Eric Bischoff, when he joined WWE, how many of you remember when the international, hold on, what is it, the IOW? Is it the IOW? Yes, the IOW, the International Organization for Women. Does anybody remember when the International Organization for Women tried to fight Eric Bischoff? They protested. Who remembers this?
Eric Bischoff is a fair and just man. I believe in equality. I believe that women are just as smart and just as powerful as men.
Very sincerely said.
It's not HLA, everyone.
Oh, which is why I'm willing to provide an open forum for this group of women who have been protesting my show here tonight. So, ladies, your microphone awaits you.
Come on, where are they? Are these ladies do your protest in here most of the afternoon.
Trust me, it's worth it. I'm going to fast forward it.
Mr. Bischoff, this group of women represents the International Organization for Women. We exist to represent women. We exist to preserve the fair and equal rights for women in entertainment. And quite frankly, Mr. Bischoff, you have gone over the line with Raw.
That was the original Divas movement.
Exploited women on your show by promoting bra and panty matches.
Yeah. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Mud matches.
I love a good mud match.
And pillow fights.
Oh, yeah. Been my all-time favorite.
And most recently, you've exploited two lesbians on your show by having them. The lesbians perform the sexual act.
That's it, isn't it? I should have known. The lesbians, that's what this is all about?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know how I didn't see it. I'm surrounded by a horde of lesbians.
Oh, they're lesbians, JR. Yeah, come on.
Hey, no problem.
All right. That's enough for now. I got one more for you. And this one is probably the one that people would want to see the most. First of all, a couple other photos. Sean Waltman, as Six, made his WCW debut. This Week in History is the parking lot brawl between John Cena and Eddie Guerrero. Billy and Chuck's wedding when Eric Bischoff...
Did someone say 3 minutes?
And that screenshot of Billy and Chuck that you see, that is from a newspaper. GLAAD and a lot of gay and lesbian organizations were very, very angry at WWE that time because of that storyline. But probably one that some people would want to forget is this. First of all, the epic fail. Anybody remember the Hell in a Cell match with Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns from a few years ago? Mick Foley was the referee. And it ended like in a no contest, and the ratings plummeted right after that. That happened this week. AJ Styles versus Frank Trigg. What's that all about? Nikki Bella becoming the longest reigning Divas champion in history. And I got to show you this one. Look, arguably the greatest match in TNA history. AJ Styles defending the X Division Championship against Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels. We actually revisit that match, and that was an unbelievable match. That arguably may be the greatest match in TNA history. But look at Jeff Hardy there with the two middle fingers. Remember Jeff Hardy got let go and CM Punk came out of WWE wearing the Jeff Hardy face paint, and everybody online was poking fun at Jeff, this could have been you. CM Punk came out on WWE television wearing Jeff Hardy face paint, and I think this week is also the anniversary where Jeff Hardy got arrested with the drugs. But Jeff Hardy was in a diner, and that screenshot is Jeff Hardy, and this is what he sounded like.
What the hell does straight edge mean again? The first ever straight edge world heavyweight champion. think Christian said it best. CM Punk, I think you're a nerd. I get cocky every now and then. I'll say, you pay to see me, you pay to see me, but I made CM Punk a motherfucking superstar. And that's a fact, Jack. And I'll end it like this. Bam! Oh, we can't even do that shit in your company anymore. But in this world, we can do it all we want to. You should follow me. You should listen to my preaching because it's going to get you through life. It'll make you live life the right way. CM Punk, your way's not the right way, brother. That's what's cool about planet Earth. We're all different. If we were all like you, man, I would rather live on Pluto. You, my friend, are way too cocky, inside and outside the ring. It's kind of strange when you go up and see homeboys at a show. You got guys like Undertaker coming up saying, hey, Jeff, how you doing, man? All these other guys, hey, Jeff, how's everything going for you, man? I'll be all right. Back from his mind. I'm sitting here waiting to see if he's going to say hello to me, man. Never did. Walk away to the showers or whatever. I just leave, whatever. Oh, well, yeah, fuck that guy. And I just have one message to CM Punk. Fuck you. I made you the straight-edge superstar you are. And I still don't believe that because I think you take Ambien to go to sleep, motherfucker. That's a prescription if you didn't know it. So, hello.
Yeah, it was pretty controversial. Pretty controversial. Oh, yeah, this was the clip. Matt Riddle is not at Raw. WWE hasn't responded today as far as questions regarding Riddle coming off the incident at JFK Airport coming back from India. But the fact that he's not at the show is newsworthy. Yeah, that's part of what was floating around. By the way, Johnny Gargano has been found. Johnny Gargano wrestled the house show over the weekend for the WWE, I think in Uniondale. He lost to Omos. He will reunite with Tommaso Ciampa very, very soon. They're just getting him back into the swing of things. So, all right. With that done, I think we could talk about Raw. Should we talk about Raw? Or should we? Yeah, let's talk about Raw a little bit, just quickly, and then we'll get into this week in ratings. Pretty amazing. How much some of these numbers dipped. Not only Collision, but even SmackDown. Raw seems to be attempting to rebound a little bit, but Raw still has got some pretty disappointing numbers. You know, as I said yesterday, I'm pretty convinced that Collision does not survive 2024. And it's not just the fact that NFL is going to be on, but you can't just have pointless matches. The fact that Dax Harwood versus Jay White, you know, let that sink in. The fact that Dax Harwood versus Jay White only drew 235,000 viewers. And the demo, and I don't ever talk about demos, but the demo for Jay White versus Dax Harwood was 2.5 times less than NXT, 5 times less than WWE, 3 to 3.5, maybe 4 times less than Dynamite, and 2.5 times less than Rampage. I mean, you know, Jay White, you know, the big, I'm not criticizing him, but everybody said, oh my God, you know, this is the golden goose that WWE was trying to, you know, swoop in, and he chose AEW. 235,000 viewers. That's almost Impact territory. When you look at the demo, in fact, that demo is very close to what Impact Wrestling gets. Wow. All right. So we'll get into ratings in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Raw tonight. Raw, not a bad show. I thought tonight they really worked hard to progress storylines. I don't have any issue with the Raw roster not trusting Jey Uso. My problem is Jey Uso has been feuding against Roman Reigns and the Bloodline for months. Anybody remember the Tribal Combat match? all these wrestlers, I know it's storyline, but Drew McIntyre, Matt Riddle, you know, others, you know, they don't trust him. Cody Rhodes, the savior, brings him to Raw. Why aren't Drew McIntyre and these wrestlers confronting Cody Rhodes? Why did you bring him to Raw? We don't trust him. How could you do that? You know, like, I mean, we're supposed to forget that Jey Uso superkicked Roman Reigns like 1,001 times and had tribal combat and all this other stuff and Uso out. He quit. I quit WWE. I quit SmackDown. I quit everything. And the wrestler, we don't trust you. You know, it's a little too late for that. That should have been 2-3 months ago, but now they're doing that. And then, like I said earlier, I don't have any issues with it. But, you know, I'm watching Finn Balor. Where's the screenshot? I'm pretty sure I took a screenshot of it. Maybe I didn't, but Finn Balor was with Jey Uso. And Finn Balor's telling Jey Uso, oh, no, the Judgment Day, you know, we all like you. You know, we believe in you and everybody. And Jey Uso's, of course, in storyline, Jey Uso doesn't buy it. But now we're supposed to, like, substitute the bloodline with the Judgment Day. And right now, Jey Uso is elevated his game. Arguably the MVP of the bloodline storyline. You know, reunited with Sami Zayn. But that's going to hit a brick wall very, very quickly. And a lot of people are expecting Cody Rhodes to ultimately reveal that he got Jey Uso to Raw and he ultimately is going to go to SmackDown. And that's going to spell problems for Roman Reigns. I'm not so sure if they actually will go that route. But this Jey Uso stuff is a little bit strange today. So Jey Uso opens up Monday Night Raw. Crowd is big time into him. Understandably, I don't object to that. Kevin Owens interrupts. Jey Uso's letting everybody know that Main Event Uso is in your city. Kevin Owens comes out and he says, no, I think you meant to say that you are on the Kevin Owens show. And Kevin Owens admits that in the past he's done a lot of bad things to a lot of people. And he tried to make change. It took a long time to earn the respect and trust from others. And again, they're playing the trust game with Jey Uso. 3-4 months later, I can't buy into that. I'm sorry. And then we get the rinse and repeat. The Judgment Day come out. You shouldn't be saying anything. We run Monday Night Raw. And Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, minus Rhea Ripley because she has the main event match tonight. They come out. They don't have to prove anything to Kevin Owens. They have all the gold, minus Gunther and Seth Rollins, obviously. Kevin Owens claims that he speaks for the locker room, how they feel about trust and Jey Uso and everything. And Judgment Day says, you don't speak for us. You don't speak on behalf of the locker room. And that would make sense a little bit later on when Finn Balor approaches Jey Uso after what happened in the match. So what ends up happening is Damian Priest says that they were supposed to have a match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I guess a rematch, but Sami Zayn was not there. So Owens and proposes he could fight by himself. Jey Uso says he'll have Kevin Owens' back and offered to be his partner tonight against the entire Judgment Day. So Dom gets on the mic in the crowd, and they amp up the noise level, the decibels, to make the reaction. The fans are legitimately booing Dominic, but they turn up the decibel level just a little bit more to make it sound enhanced. But that reaction is legit, and it's now a thing to do. You know, you drown out Dominic's talk. And Dominic was a little bit upset. He felt excluded out of all of this. So Jey Uso offers his services. Kevin Owens says, let's do it. And they start beating the crap out of the Judgment Day. So we now have a match with the Judgment Day against Kevin Owens and Jey Uso to open up Monday Night Raw. Unfortunately, towards the latter part of the match, Jey Uso goes for a super kick on Damian Priest. Damian Priest gets out of dodge. Jey Uso super kicks Kevin Owens. So Damian Priest knocks Jey Uso out of the ring. Finn Balor hits the coup de grace and Kevin Owens gets the pin. And, you know, Jey Uso's like, look, my bad. You know, I screwed up. And Kevin Owens, you know, just limps, walks to the back. They would have a little bit of a confrontation later on. Jey apologizes for what he did. He said it was a miscue. Kevin Owens, back on speed, you know, just talking a mile a minute that he's angry, he's pissed off, he's this. And he said, go Georgia Judgment Day. Goodbye. So that's what we're left with a little bit later. Again, I'm enjoying Jey Uso on Raw, even though it's only been a couple of weeks. But this trust thing is a little outdated, if I may say so. Raquel Rodriguez showing warming up in the back, which I thought was kind of funny because Natalia approached Raquel, I guess her giving, offering her like some advice and strategy. And I like Natalia, but I'm saying to myself, like, what are you going to do? Like, don't do what I did? You know, and almost everybody, you know what I thought of? Remember Mickey Mantle, God rest his soul, when he had cancer, unfortunately. And he went on TV and he said, you want a role model? This is not a role model. Don't do what I did. You know, like Natalia, and I know it's a bad comparison, but, you know, Natalia showing up, I'm like, what are you going to say? Everything that I did, don't do it because you're going to lose. All right, whatever. The Miz defeats Akira Tozawa tonight. Not much. All right, Jay, you can leave. Not much of a match there. I got to be honest with you. I didn't like that they did this match again because Akira Tozawa is going to be on NXT tomorrow. He's part of the Global Heritage Invitational, and he's going to be taking on Nathan Frazier. You know, you lose a three-minute match against The Miz. You know, I get it. You know, NXT is supposed to be the minor leagues, but that doesn't really say much about Akira Tozawa. But The Miz beats him in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Did somebody say 3 minutes? So now Friday, Miz is on a roll for his rematch against LA Knight, which he will lose, obviously. And he loses no momentum. Besides, I should ask and add to it. Raquel Rodriguez is interviewed by Byron Saxton. I hated the interview. It sounded like Raquel Rodriguez was reading from a teleprompter. It was like, I'm a big fan of Raquel Rodriguez, but that promo felt like she was reading out of a book. You know, the way she was describing, like, Rhea Ripley and why she's so dominant, why she's so intimidating. Like, it just felt like she was just reading from a paper. You know, then towards the latter part, she gets a little bit, you know, personal. And Rhea's going to learn a lesson. It's going to feel like a nightmare. See, you know, think about it. Rhea, nightmare. It's, oh. That was like honestly probably one of the worst promos I ever heard Raquel Rodriguez ever cut. She probably would have did better by just smiling and saying, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity, you know, to get another rematch. You know, go back and watch it and you'll see what I'm talking about. It felt like she was reading a script. You know, Raquel, you want to try out for this movie? Yeah, I want you to read this script. And tell everyone why you want to beat up the bad girl. And, yeah. Jackie Redmond interviews Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler talking about a match that she had last week with Zoe Stark. And Chelsea Green shows up. Chelsea Green's name will be mentioned again later when we talk about the ratings. I have a weird feeling that history may repeat itself this week. But Chelsea Green, because her partner, Piper Nevin, is not medically cleared. Chelsea Green thinks, hey, you know, champion, champion. And she proposes the idea that they team up. Shayna Baszler's like, you know, how's about I face you out there instead? And it just hit me, too. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are going to have a feud. I would love for them to re-team again. I thought that tag team was so underappreciated because of Nia Jax's track record. If anybody goes back to the shows that I did at the time that Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler were a tag team, I enjoyed it. It got a little ridiculous with Lana going through a table every single week. You know, it's almost like when you're a kid. Oh, come on, Ma. Brussels sprouts again? Like every week. Come on. They smell like ass. Like every week, it's like, oh, Lana's going through a table. But I really enjoyed that tag team. Now you know they're going to cross paths. Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, probably going to see a feud between them. So anyway, Shayna Baszler leaves. She has the match. But before they have the match, remember, Chelsea Green proposed to Shayna that they team up. Well, after Shayna leaves, Piper Nevin shows up. And she reveals she's medically cleared. Chelsea Green's got that busted look on her face because she quickly was trying to find another partner, and Piper Nevin is not happy with it. So later on, we get the match. Shayna Baszler beats Chelsea Green pretty handedly. Piper Nevin is at ringside. And I'm thinking, okay, DQ victory. DQ victory. Piper Nevin's going to get involved in the match. Why she was allowed at ringside, I don't know. But during the match, Shayna Baszler gets in Piper Nevin's face. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, definite DQ coming up. Piper Nevin's going to get involved in the match. But no. Shayna Baszler beats Chelsea Green clean. And then, as I said at the beginning of the show, I don't know what's up with Piper Nevin. I know she had an illness. Did she have an illness in the arms? Her arms looked like they were like 400 pounds, and I'm not saying that in an overweight sense. It felt like she was holding lead. She was going like this, flailing like she lost all, like, and I was like, oh my God, you can't even hurt a child with those shots. And then Zoe Stark shows up and kind of makes the save for Shayna Baszler. So Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler are forming a tag team. I know Kev and I brought that up for the payback predictions, the idea of Shayna and Zoe Stark. And I remember when we did it, people were like, oh, no, how could they do that? Shayna's a babyface and Zoe's a heel. I got to be honest with you. They obviously look great as a tag team, but I'm not buying Zoe Stark as a babyface. I still think that WWE did the reverse. Trish should have been the baby face after Zoe turned. I always felt after the payback match, and I apologize yesterday for some people that misconstrued what I said. It's my fault. I said payback was underwhelming. Payback was a great show. I said it was underwhelming because there was some notable names that were not on that card. But Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch, that feud was disappointing. That feud was forced. At some point, you just felt like, okay, be done. That's it. But man, did they put out a banger in that cage match. I thought if that's Trish's swan song, which I think she should have one more match, she should be damn proud. That was a great match. But when Zoe hit her afterwards, I'm like, no, you know, Trish should have been cheered by the fans. I don't think the fans are buying into Zoe Stark as a baby face. I personally don't like it at all. I like her and Shayna as a tag team, but I'm still not buying Zoe Stark as a baby face. Just not feeling it. Okay, we had the celebration. Gunther, now the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. He comes out there. We got a pair of columns in the ring. Giovanni Vinci, who's about to get kicked out of Imperium. And Ludwig Kaiser are there. Ludwig introduces Gunther. He comes out there. They're wearing suits. They show up in a limousine. And Gunther is running down the prior intercontinental champions. He gets interrupted by Chad Gable. And Chad Gable is, you know, last week he had the match. He did not win, which we knew was going to happen. Chad Gable's kids were crying. And I don't know, man. I saw that last week. I mean, Chad Gable's kids have seen him wrestle before and lose and didn't cry. You know, like Chad Gable telling, he had to have told his kids, look, you know, after my match, I want you to cry. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, unless he promised them victory and they really believed it, you know, kids don't know any different. But, you know, Chad Gable, you know, confronts Gunther and they have a little bit of a confrontation in the ring. And his entire family was sitting front row last week and he saw the tears on the face of his oldest daughter, and that was because of Gunther. Gunther wouldn't know what it feels like because you'd have to be a parent to understand. And now WWE using their families in storylines a lot more than usual. Seth Rollins bringing up his daughter, Chad Gable bringing up his family. Chad wants another match. He doesn't know when or where he'll get the opportunity, but he swears to God he is winning that championship and his daughter is going to walk out there with a big smile on his face. Gunther, hey, he said to Chad Gable, you really want to drag your family out there again just to watch you lose? See, that's one of the things about Gunther that I really enjoy about his character. You know, some little things that might not seem like a big deal, but they turn out to be. When you're a heel, 95% of the time, you get out of Dodge. You're a chicken shit in some way, shape, or form. You take the cheap route. Even the six-man tag match tonight, even though Imperium lost it, when they had the six-man tag, because when Imperium started attacking Chad Gable and Otis, Tommaso Ciampa shows up and evens the odds, 3-on-3. So later on, Adam Pearce makes the match, Tommaso Ciampa and Alpha Academy versus Imperium. Now, Alpha Academy and Tommaso Ciampa won the match. And it's a pretty cool visual because towards the end of the match, Chad Gable had the ankle lock on Giovanni Vinci. And Tommaso Ciampa had the Sicilian stretch on Gunther. So Gunther was not the legal man. The referee was just ignoring Ciampa and Gunther. And Gunther had to witness Giovanni Vinci tapping out. So obviously that's going to lead to next week. Gunther is going to be extremely angry at Giovanni Vinci for tapping. And, you know, it's only a matter of a couple of weeks. Vinci will be punished and likely be out of Imperium. But this was a fun match. And I got news for you, but I'll get back to Gunther in a second. I hope WWE's thinking about having Tommaso Ciampa feud with Gunther. I want to see Cody Rhodes feud with Gunther. And I know what some people say, DT, wait till Cody wins the championship and then he could feud with Gunther. That's not until April. We don't know if Gunther is going to be Intercontinental Champion all the way to April. I mean, Cody's got a feud. You want just Cody to feud with Dom Dom or Judgment Day? I mean, you know, we got to like kind of like mix it up a little bit. Give me a little feud with Gunther and Cody Rhodes. Even if Gunther does decide to be a little bit of a chicken shit because Cody Rhodes is obviously in a different level than Chad Gable. But Tommaso Ciampa and Gunther had a banger for NXT. I think it was Stand and Deliver. I think it might be Stand and Deliver. I don't remember the exact event, but I do remember the match. Gunther and Tommaso Ciampa tore it up in NXT. If WWE is thinking about putting Ciampa versus Gunther on an upcoming episode of Raw, if you let them go 10, 15 minutes, you'll have three or four This Is Awesome chants during it. That's how good. I mean, it's not Ilya Gunther level, but they really click. So I was excited to see Ciampa in the match tonight and to see that Ciampa put the Sicilian stretch on Gunther tells me, yeah, we may see that match. But what I love so much about Gunther that WWE does with him is during the match tonight, Otis was getting the upper hand. Ciampa had the hot tag. Otis comes in. Otis does the worm, you know, the caterpillar on Kaiser. And then Kaiser gets the tag to Gunther. Otis ends up in the other corner. And when Gunther enters the ring, Chad Gable steps on the apron. And he's standing right next to Otis. So all Chad Gable's got to do is reach over and tap Otis. And he's tagged in. And instead of Gunther having a look of concern that, oh, shit, hot tag, Chad Gable, my nemesis, is entering the ring, Gunther's like, take yourself in. Come on. Take yourself in. That little aspect of Gunther is so big for me. The fact that people, he's just like, you know, and obviously it's a character. You know, I mean, any wrestler can have that aspect about them. But the fact that WWE noticed and emphasizes that with Gunther, big deal. Absolutely love it. Thank you, Psycho. It was NXT Stand and Deliver 2021. Thank you for looking that up. If any of you out there have never seen that match, go watch it. It'll give you an idea of what those two guys can do. But Imperium loses tonight, thanks to Giovanni Vinci. Now we get a little bit of Drew McIntyre fun. Earlier in the day, Drew McIntyre is with Xavier Woods. And Xavier Woods wonders why Drew McIntyre talked trash about Kofi Kingston last week. Drew McIntyre says that maybe Kofi Kingston should be a man and speak for himself. So Xavier Woods throwing some cheap shots to Drew McIntyre that he's jealous Kofi Kingston won his world title at WrestleMania in front of 82,000 fans, which I don't know if that number is legit. But you talk about Drew McIntyre, you know, won in an empty arena because of COVID. So this sets up a match later on. Fun match. Drew McIntyre with the Claymore beats Xavier Woods. Crowd still split. Babyface on both sides. Drew obviously is just, you know, he's not full-blown heel yet, but he's going after some of your favorites. Because later on in the night, as I said earlier, Drew McIntyre has a little face-to-face with Jey Uso. And they have a little bit of a confrontation. And Drew McIntyre doesn't trust Jey Uso. And Jey Uso feels like, hey, maybe you have a couple of unfinished business. And he proposes a match next week. Jey Uso proposes a match, him versus Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre is 100% behind it. So next week, it's going to be really interesting to see how that crowd reacts with main event Uso versus Drew McIntyre. So now we have 2 weeks in a row that Drew McIntyre is going after the bigger baby faces. Now, once Matt Riddle is healthy and could get back, my only thinking is that maybe Matt Riddle confronts Drew McIntyre for going after, you know, Xavier Woods and going after Jey Uso. You know, I mean, Matt Riddle shouldn't trust Jey Uso, but maybe Matt Riddle comes back. Oh, bro, he's not what he used to be. You know, this, because remember, you know, Matt Riddle feuded with the Bloodline for quite a bit of time, especially when he came back. So I think Matt Riddle will probably object to some of Drew McIntyre's behavior, and then that's probably where we'll see the turn. So Cody Rhodes comes out, and before Cody Rhodes could say anything beyond Jey Uso. So, was it Norwalk? Was that what they were today? What do you want to talk about? Jey Uso and Dom's music hits. And again, I don't have a problem with it all that much, but okay, JD McDonagh versus Cody Rhodes is probably coming up. I thought this segment was designed for Dom and JD to just take crazy bumps. Because JD McDonagh, who wants to be in Judgment Day, comes out with Dominic Mysterio, and Dom gets into Cody Rhodes' face. Dom is happy that Cody brought Jey Uso to Raw because Jey Uso would join the Judgment Day. And when he does, Cody Rhodes is going to look like a fool. So he said there's nothing that Cody could do about it. And as he's saying that, he's flicking Cody Rhodes' tie. So Cody Rhodes nails Dominic Mysterio. JD McDonagh tries to cheap shot Cody. Cody hits a Cody cutter to Dom. Then he hits Crossroads to JD McDonagh, throws him over the top rope. JD bumped big time tonight. Then he hits Crossroads to Dominic Mysterio, and they bail. They bail. So that's pretty much the segment that we had tonight. Shinsuke Nakamura, more of the vignettes tonight. Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, you're not honorable. You're not honorable. And Nakamura is wondering if Seth feels like a champion after he stood above Seth Rollins' broken body. Seth Rollins is not honorable. And he wonders what the fans, if they would still sing his song, if they remembered all the things that he has done. He said the road to Seth Rollins' success was lined with bodies of those who trusted him. Seth Rollins believes that the weak exists to be consumed by the strong. Seth Rollins, you're a manipulator, a liar, a deceiver. You brought shame to your family and had no remorse. Shinsuke Nakamura would strip him of the title and expose the lies that he claimed to stand for. Seth Rollins' words mean nothing. I will challenge you when I feel like it. So Seth Rollins comes out. Yeah. Comes out dressed like that. Green, looks like a comic book character. Green Hornet, I don't know, Green Hornet, whatever. So Seth Rollins comes out there. I am a visionary. I'm a revolutionary. But I also admit to being a manipulator, a deceiver. Just as Nakamura said, for a long time, he didn't know who he was. He surrounded himself with the authority. He tried to be what everybody wanted him to be. He finally figured out what everybody wanted him to be, and that was himself. That's why the fans loved him. Not because he was a good guy or a bad guy, but because he is Seth freaking Rollins. Then he addresses Nakamura. I didn't come to Virginia to talk. I came here to fight. Management is telling Seth Rollins to slow down because of the back. He's going to burn himself out. He called out Nakamura for a title match. Nakamura said no. Seth Rollins says that Shinsuke Nakamura wants to do it on his own time and figured the payback match took more out of Nakamura than Nakamura is revealing. So he wants to fight Nakamura right then and there. Instead, we got Shinsuke Nakamura beating the shit out of Ricochet. And I am enjoying this Nakamura. I'm enjoying what I don't understand why it took this many years to just allow Shinsuke to be Shinsuke. You know, let him talk Japanese, even if we don't understand a word he's fucking saying. Just do what he's doing. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying Shinsuke right now more than when he feuded with AJ and he feuded with others. To me right now, I'm enjoying this very much. I hope they continue it. They continue it. We had a little contract signing with Tiffany Stratton, and I'm sorry I did not get a full body shot of Tiffany Stratton. That's not for pervs out there. But the reason why I wanted to get a full body shot is because WWE is slightly tweaking Tiffany Stratton's look a little bit, and tonight she looked like a trillion dollars. They did a little bit of a contract signing because tomorrow night on NXT, Becky Lynch will be challenging. Wouldn't that be something if Nia Jax shows up in NXT? Maybe Nia could squash Becky Lynch and squash Tiffany Stratton. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think we are going towards Rhea versus Raquel versus Nia. Battle of the Giants. I think that's where we're going with this. But we get a little bit of a contract signing. Becky Lynch shows up. Tiffany wants to know what she did wrong. As Becky Lynch coming after her in an NXT championship. And Becky Lynch says that when Tiffany Stratton came to her show to get attention for that rinky-dink little title reign, that became on Becky Lynch's radar. And that's why Becky Lynch is challenging her for the championship tomorrow. So they signed the contract, and it's going to go down. It's going to be a big challenge for Tiffany Stratton. You know, this kind of reminds me when Bron Breakker took on Seth Rollins. You know, remember when Bron Breakker came up for a short period of time and then he had the match with Seth in NXT? It really, really feels, you know, like that's where they're going with this. You know, you have one of the top stars fighting one of the up-and-comers and see if they can hang, see where they truly are. You think back of AJ Styles and Grayson Waller when they went at it a little bit. It's a nice little test. You know, even you remember when they were doing a little bit with Santos Escobar, when he showed up. I didn't like that he teamed up with Tony D, you know, and Stax, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So that leaves us with the main event tonight, and we already talked about it. Dom Dom banned from ringside, so it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez for the Women's World Championship. And I enjoyed this match more than I enjoyed the Payback match. I thought this match was great. You kind of felt that it was going to lead to a bullshit finish because you don't want Raquel Rodriguez to lose clean twice. Yes, Dom got involved at Payback, but still, you know, Rhea Ripley ended up on top. And as I showed you earlier, they had a banger of a match. Towards the latter part of the match, they were brawling at ringside. And I was looking at the clock, and I think it was like 10:57. I'm like, oh, no, don't do no count-out bullshit finish. Because they were getting by the announcer's table. And then Raquel dropped Rhea Ripley, like, on the side of the apron. And then when she went to push Rhea Ripley back in the ring, here comes Nia Jax. And again, the crowd, you could feel, even though we knew Raquel Rodriguez had no chance of winning the championship tonight, you could feel the air being taken out of the balloon. And I just envision some people online who freaking despise Nia Jax, and I'm saying to myself, oh, God. The last thing they're going to see before the Endeavor merger is complete is Nia Jax's fucking face. I thought it was hilarious, but she looked good. She laid out Raquel Rodriguez. This allowed Rhea Ripley to hit the Riptide and get the victory. But Nia wasn't done. Nia decides, I'm going to take out Rhea Ripley as well. And she lays out Rhea Ripley. And she's smiling from ear to ear. And we go off the air with Nia Jax. Nia Jax. Again, I hope she improved. If she is not, as much as I'm a fan of hers, and I root for her and I like her, I will call it out. But I have heard from people that she has worked hard to improve. Now, keep in mind, when you're that big, your moves are intended to squash people. So we're going to see some very, very dominant squashy moves. You know, let's just hope they're not so sloppy. But Benjamin, I was always a fan of Nia Jax. I can't help it. I believe it or not, I probably still have her Kiss card on my desk somewhere over here. I was going to, oh yeah, I do. Look, this is from 2016. Look, it's a kiss card. Nia Jax. I don't know if you could see that. I was going to sell it. I was going to give it away. It's only limited to 25. It's limited to 25. Kiss card. I promise you, I didn't like, you know, like a... No. I don't like it that much. I wouldn't even kiss a kiss card if my wife kissed it. Kiss cards. Gonna kiss a piece of cardboard. So, all right. So that was your episode of Raw tonight. Next week, we're going to have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Ricochet. And listen, I know some people did not like what went down last week with Ricochet. They feel he's being jobbed out again, which I think is ridiculous. But when we talk about ratings now, before we get off the air, and I got a little preview for NXT and AEW, here's your NXT preview once again. I hope some of you could stop by the watch party tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, I'll be live in the chat. I'll be moderating it. Chat will be going throughout the whole night. You know, we got Ilya versus Wesley is going to be a banger. Tozawa is going to get probably 8 minutes. So let's see, you know, how he hangs with Nathan Frazier. Becky Lynch obviously challenging Tiffany Stratton for the championship. The Creed brothers versus Malik Blade and Idris and Ofi. And then you have Axiom taking on Tyler Bate in the Global Heritage Invitation. There's some other matches as well. I think Dana Brooke is taking on Lyra Valkyria. That's going to be interesting. And, you know, that's your episode of NXT. AEW, this is what they have lined up. And, again, I don't have any issue with this match because Samoa Joe is the one in storyline that injured Roderick Strong. And I kind of like what they're doing with Roderick Strong right now in AEW, but he's going to take on Samoa Joe. It's not for the Ring of Honor title. But the winner of this match is going to face MJF at Arthur Ashe Stadium the following week. Does anybody honestly think that MJF is going to take on Roderick Strong? You know, sometimes you really got to make it feel like, you know, there's a legit toss-up here. And I think there's no doubt it's going to be Samoa Joe versus MJF, especially last week when we get to the ratings in a little bit. Also, another match that's going down on Wednesday, Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose versus Toni Storm versus Britt Baker. And the winner of that match is going to be taking on Saraya the following week in Arthur Ashe Stadium here in New York. So, you know, I think some people are thinking, oh, wow, Toni Storm, maybe she's going to get the shot and it's going to be Outcast versus Outcast. That would be intriguing, but you kind of feel like Nyla Rose is not going to get that shot. Hikaru Shida, you know, she just won the championship. Why she doesn't get the automatic rematch, I don't know. But that's what we got there. Then you got, I don't know how you feel about this, Jon Moxley defending the international championship against Big Bill, you know, the former Big Cass. And then you got Hangman Page versus Brian Cage. And then you get usual talking segments. Don Callis is going to talk. The Sex Gods are going to talk. And that's pretty much what's lined up for AEW this Wednesday. So before we get into ratings, a couple of quick super shout-outs, if you don't mind. Sticky Fingers Frank, thank you for the 20 spot, my friend. Welcome back, DT. I'm looking forward to you giving us the 411 on what happened to Matt Riddle. Big fan of his, and I appreciate that you got the story straight from him. Believe it or not, like, I dodged the story yesterday because I wanted to get it firsthand. But then when I started seeing all the wrestling news sites today putting out so much bullshit, I basically asked. I said, is it all right if I talk about it? How far should I go? Now, you know, the way I talk about the security cards, that's just me, you know, giving my interpretation. But they definitely were being assholes, and they thought it was feminine. You know, like, what guy paints their nails, the hair? You high? You know, that's not, you know, his words, so to speak, but that's how they treated him. It's fucked up. So, you know, I'm expressing my thoughts on it. So, but I hope I gave you what you were looking for earlier. Just wanted to be straight up about it. Thank you, Frank. John Fawcett with Two Spot. Thank you, John. Why do people hate Nia Jax so much? I don't get it. Because Nia Jax, she injured some people. Some not necessarily a fault. Some very hard to argue. You know, it seemed like it was her fault. Seemed like she was reckless at times. Sometimes it felt like, I don't want to use the word lazy, but I do know a lot of fans felt that sometimes when she's in matches, she comes off as lazy. You know, but then again, some people say the same thing about Charlotte Flair. Oh, she don't sell. You know, if I'm Nia Jackson, I'm that fucking big. If I'm WWE creative, there's not too many people I'm going to sell for. You know what I mean? But Nia Jax, you know, she was not the most polished person on the roster, and nobody's expecting her to have 3- and 4-star matches if you believe in the match grades and all that. But, you know, there is a lot of reason for people to have disliked her in the past. Plus, she's been a heel. You know, so that kind of like helps it as well. I just hope she improves. I just hope she improves. But look, I'm a fan of hers, but I totally respect everyone out there that is the complete opposite about her. I get it. I understand it. I think as a wrestling character, she's great. Somebody that big that could actually move a little bit and do some wrestling moves, she could improve a little bit. Not many big women like that. You know, I've seen some very heavy women perform on the indie circuit, especially here in the Northeast when I used to do like shows in Long Island and stuff during my little indie managing crappy, you know, thing. And I saw some women that just because they were heavy were getting matches, and you saw them in the ring, and, you know, if you named a movie after them, you would name it Clueless. I mean, they just, it looked like a train wreck, but people got a kick out of it because it just looked like two massive bowls of Jell-O just going at it. So, you know, Nia Jax, when you have that kind of size, if you could put it together a little bit, you know, that's got to have some value. So, thank you, John. And XXX with a two spot. Thank you for that. DT, I wish Gunther could do a title for title match. It's too soon for that. I know they're doing one in AEW. I think it's going to be Claudio and Eddie Kingston. You know, but again, it's, I don't care about either title, to be honest with you. With Gunther, though, I don't want to see the United States Championship and IC Championship unified. Look at Chad Gable. There's a lot of people rooting for Chad Gable. Maybe he does break through and get a win on Gunther. Maybe he's the one to dethrone him. I don't know. But there's got to be some secondary titles for some guys to go for. For the last couple of years, Roman, who still has 2 of the 3 heavyweight championships, technically, the Usos had both sets of tag titles for a year. Look at how many people who had momentum that got no championship because the bloodline had to have all the gold. You know, so I don't think, listen, WWE does not have 35 titles like AEW does. So I don't want any championships unified right now in WWE. They unified the NXT Women's Tag Champs with the WWE Women's Tag Champs. That I'm fine with. Because Chelsea Green and Piper Nevin are going to be showing up in NXT soon. Just give it a little time. Dominic Mysterio, you know, him being NXT North American champion, it's giving exposure on the main roster about that belt. And he's working overtime doing NXT stuff. Then you got the Judgment Day. If you remember, Kevin, my predictions for Judgment Day, of course we expected them to win the tag titles, but it was more than that. What did we say? The Judgment Day have to go to SmackDown. They have to feud with the Street Profits. You got to get a tag team champion on SmackDown. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were not going to be regulars on SmackDown because that kind of like fucks with the Bloodline storyline, even though they have been forced to pull back because they hit a brick wall. They peaked too soon. They peaked too soon. Jey Uso versus Roman should have happened in September, October at minimum, maybe even November, you know, but they did it so early, you know, how do you kill this time? Well, you do the stupid stuff. Is Jimmy rejoining the Bloodline? Is Jay joining the Judgment Day? And next thing you know, a month goes by and you're like, those questions aren't really answered. Even though we know the answers, they in storyline, they haven't answered it. And meanwhile, a month has gone by. Realize, next week, Jey Uso will be at 3 weeks. Jimmy Uso will be, you know, on SmackDown 3 weeks. And you're going to be left with the same thing. Is Jimmy back with the Bloodline? Is Jay going to join Judgment Day? And then 5 weeks are going to go by. And then, no, they're not. And then it's going to lead to a match. And then you realize, oh, they just milked another 6 weeks from us. All right. Let's quickly get into ratings because we are going a little bit late tonight. I am exhausted. You know, I flew back today, and trust me, not easy when you don't do shows pretty much for 11 days to put notes and research and put things together and edit. And, you know, plus I haven't been in my office in 11 days. Tomorrow is going to suck. Every fucking customer that needs every little thing is going to show up at my office. Tomorrow is going to be a kind of a nightmare. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. So, all right, ratings very, very quickly. Raw last Monday for September 4th did 1,704,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week prior's 1,677,000. The high point of last week, Ricochet and Nakamura, their interaction did 1,809,000 viewers. The low point of last week was Sami Zayn versus JD McDonagh and the backstage segment with Jey Uso. That only did 1,553,000. By the way, not only did it only do 1,535,000, but the segment before that match, you know, only did 1,553,000. And before that was Kofi, Drew McIntyre, Matt Riddle, was 150,000 viewers more. So what I'm getting at is that after last week you had Kofi, Riddle, and Drew McIntyre's little angle, 150,000 fans tuned out for the Sami Zayn, Janie McDonough, and even the Jey Uso backstage stuff. You know, 150,000. It's not like it just gradually throughout the hour. 150,000 off, just like that. Charlie Conway to Q&A. I posted it last week. It's up. I don't know if you downloaded it yet. NXT last week did 674,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior is 614. The high point of last week, Mustafa Ali versus Dragon Lee with Dominic Mysterio as the referee, 723,000 viewers. The shine of Dominic in NXT is starting to wear off a little bit. Dominic, his numbers are starting to go down, even when he does get advertised for NXT. Just take note of it. Still a high point of last Tuesday, but not as high as recent weeks. The low point of NXT last week, Lyra, Valkyria, and Dana Brooks backstage angle, and the beginning of Braun versus Vaughn, which did 645,000 viewers. Not bad. They kind of maintained a decent level of viewers throughout the whole night. No major dives, but still, you know, that was the low point. AEW Dynamite last week, 887,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior is 871. The high point of last week was the MJF Samoa Joe Adam Cole segment, which did 949,000 viewers. The low point, listen, I root for the rookies and the young guys, but how many times are you going to put somebody in that spot and watch droves of viewers turning it off? The low point of last week's Dynamite was Darby Allin and Nick Wayne main eventing Dynamite, which dropped to 730,000 viewers. And not only that, at the beginning of that match, they lost 130,000 viewers. They got to the main event, saw it was Darby Allin and Nick Wayne, turned it off. 130,000. Big deal. New Japan Pro Wrestling last week. 72,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior, 77,000. Impact Wrestling last week did 101,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior's 135. Again, Impact Wrestling really getting killed in those demos. I don't care about demos unless the numbers are really hugely impressive or hugely troubling. Impact Wrestling's got to be a little bit concerned. You know, with the that 18 to 49 demo is going down. There was a couple of weeks in a row. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Remember when I said that New Japan had a higher demo than Impact? Let that sink in. Because New Japan doesn't get Impact numbers, but yet their demo is still higher. Rampage for this past Friday did 385,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 407. Now, a couple of things. The high point, actually, well, I made a little error here. Rampage Friday did 385. That is up from the week prior's 372. The high point of Rampage from this Friday was 2.0 versus the Young Bucks, which did 407,000 viewers. The low point of Rampage was Jeff Hardy versus Samoa Joe, which did 361. Not good numbers, but they maintained their audience pretty much the whole night. SmackDown for this past Friday, these were not good numbers. These were not good numbers at all. John Cena was not on this past Friday's SmackDown. And what I did was I looked at the week prior to see how much John Cena impacted the ratings and what happened after John Cena was done. And I got some interesting numbers for you. First, let me give you this past Friday. SmackDown Friday did 2,094,000 viewers. That is way down from the week prior's 2,443,000. They had 350,000 viewers less. The high point from this past Friday's SmackDown was Charlotte Flair and Shotzi versus Bayley and Io Sky, which did 2,165,000. The low point from Friday was the backstage segment involving Asuka and the first half of Jimmy Uso versus AJ Styles. That did 2,015,000. Not big drops, but the whole night was a lot lower than usual for SmackDown. Now, the week prior that did 2,443,000, the high point was John Cena opening up SmackDown and Jimmy Uso. That segment, that did 2,617,000. The low point of the week prior SmackDown was the following quarter. John Cena opened SmackDown, highest point of the night. Lowest point of the night, what followed right after that. John Cena drew 2,617,000. Right after that, you had Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. They dropped all the way down to 2,259,000 viewers. You had 45,000 viewers? Is that right? Yeah. It's got to be almost 350,000 viewers tuned off for Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. You've heard me bring those names up before for the lowest points of SmackDown. Just figured I'd mention that. Collision. We wrap up this show, and we wrap up the ratings with Collision. Now, we don't know September 9th's number as of yet. We will have that on Tuesday. I'll get into it Wednesday. Fine. The week before, which was Tony Khan announcing that CM Punk was fired, that overall rating was 345,000 viewers. That is horrendous. But what is more troubling is this. Collision opened up that night with Tony Khan announcing that CM Punk was fired. And then they had the segment with Ricky Starks, Ricky Steamboat, and the return of Bryan Danielson. That did 472,000. Not a great number. And yes, it was opposing Payback, but still, you know, not that bad of a number. Remember, when they went up against SummerSlam, SummerSlam was a much bigger show than Payback. They did fours for SummerSlam, you know, going up against SummerSlam. So getting 472, decent number against Payback. But the low point of the night was the main event of Dax Harwood versus Jay White. Only did 244,000 viewers. And for all of you that are into demos, it only drew 101,000 viewers in the demo. Imagine that. The most cherished demo, only 100,000 fans wanted to see Dax Harwood versus Jay White. I'm telling you, you could put Bryan Danielson on Collision every single week. You could have him fight Ricky Starks. You could have him fight Jesus Christ. You could have him fight Brie Bella. You could have him fight himself. You could have him fight Tony Khan. I'm telling you, without controversial storylines and having a little bit of reality sinking into the to TV, it's, remember when Collision debuted and I said it's either going to be a AEW Dynamite 2.0 or Rampage, just on a different night. Look what it's turned out to be. How, with all due respect, even if you're the greatest, biggest AEW fan, how do you expect WarnerMedia to continue keeping Collision in an 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday night time slot if they only draw 300,000 to 500,000 viewers? Who in their right mind thinks that for TNT on a Saturday night, prime time, that 300,000 viewers is acceptable? They don't get into those fives, sixes, maybe even sevens, you know, in the near future. I'm telling you, Collision is either going to be taken off of Saturday, canceled entirely. You know, we'll talk about it Wednesday because WarnerMedia has a financial stake in this. Something that a lot of people don't talk about. We're going to dissect this a little bit more on Wednesday. But, you know, if you think back to Spike TV and TNA, and you remember Spike TV, their financial involvement, I think Eric Bischoff talked about it not too long ago, that Spike TV was, you know, heavily responsible for Hulk Hogan's salary and others. You know, this is WarnerMedia investing in AEW, and their biggest star was terminated. Now, we'll have the discussion in detail Wednesday about his termination. I gave a little teaser yesterday how I felt about it and why I felt about the way I did. But, you know, you definitely, I think you'd want to tune into that one. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. We're at the 2-hour mark. I still got some extra work to do, and it's already 1 a.m. over here. I thank you all for joining me back. You know, it was a long 11 days. I do feel back at home. It doesn't feel weird anymore. I mean, when I first walked into the house, you know, it smelled musty because there's no circulation of air and everything. And it was a little weird. I loved Marco Island. It is beautiful there. I would love to live there, but my family is here, and my home is here. So, you know, I don't see that happening, you know, for many, many, many years, if it's even possible. But I'm going to jet. Definitely post your comments afterwards. I got into a lot last week. You know, even though I was hanging in Florida, I was responding to comments, and I know a lot of you left them yesterday, so I will get into those during the week. You know, just let me get back into the swing of things a little bit. Tonight, I feel like we went balls in. It's like we never took a vacation, but believe me when I tell you, I could feel it physically and mentally. You know, the flow is not there yet, but I think after two or three shows, I think we'll be right back into it. But let me know what you think about the Riddle situation. You know, let me know what you think about, you know, what I said earlier about Jey Uso, you know, with this, you know, storyline on Raw with the mistrust, you know, the bloodline hitting a brick wall, and, you know, Nia Jax, you know, let me know how you feel about that too. And, you know, if you know anyone out there that would like to check out the shows, let them know about the channel. Charlie, the Q&A is not on YouTube because I didn't do video. It's on DonTony.com. You can download it there. If people really want a YouTube link to tune into it from, then, you know, post a comment or two and I'll upload it there. But, you know, there's no video, so it's on DonTony.com. I'm tired. Glad to be back, everyone. If you're around tomorrow night, join me for the NXT Watch Party. Playback.tv/DonTonyShow. You see, look at the thumbnail on my Twitter, @DonTonyD. The link is there. NXT should be a fun episode tomorrow. I'm curious who shows up and ruins Becky Lynch's quest to become NXT Women's Champion. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.